My name is Mahendra Gupte. We are looking at Chapter 6, Contracts of Indemnity and Guarantee. What is indemnity? Before we get into the rules and regulations, indemnity transfers liability where the indemnifier protects the indemnified party from loss or damage caused by the indemnifier or a third party. As per Section 124 of the Indian Contract Act, it involves one party saving another from loss due to their actions or others. Let's understand this. Indemnity transfers liability where the indemnifier protects the indemnified party from loss or damage caused by the indemnifier himself or any other third party. As per Section 124 of the Indian Contract Act, it involves one party saving another from loss due to their actions or due to the actions of anybody else. Contract of indemnity. Let's understand what are the essentials to a contract of indemnity. For indemnity, there are two parties that are required. There has to be a promise to cover any loss and can be expressed or implied. Objective and nature of the contract of indemnity. Indemnity protects the promisee from unforeseen losses. It can be expressed or implied and is contingent, offering protection against risks and uncertainties. Again, for indemnity, what is required is requires two parties. There has to be a promise to cover the loss, and this promise can be expressed or implied. Indemnity protects the promisee from unforeseen losses. That means that the indemnifier will promise to cover or protect the indemnified party. It can be expressed or implied and is contingent, offering protection against risks and uncertainties. Conditions for the contract of indemnity: promise to pay losses. A promise is made when one party accepts an offer. In indemnity, the promisor agrees to cover the promisee's losses. Expressed or implied. Express contracts are created orally or in writing, while implied contracts arise from the conduct of the parties. There must be a loss incurred. The promisor pays only if the promisee suffers a loss. Conditions for the contract of indemnity. There is a promise to pay losses. A promise is made made when one party accepts an offer. In indemnity, the promisor agrees to cover the promisee's losses. Express or implied. Express contracts are created orally or in writing, while implied contracts arise from the conduct of the parties. We understood the meaning of implied when we took the example of we walking into any restaurant for food. There must be a loss incurred. The promisor pays only if the promisee suffers a loss. Now, here is a slight difference that the promise made by the promisor is only valid or is only to be fulfilled if the promisee suffers a loss. Lawful object and consideration. It can only be executed for a valid purpose and lawful consideration. Position of a contract of indemnity in India. Indemnity under Section 124 covers losses from human actions, not unforeseen events, and excludes insurance. Let's understand this. Lawful object and consideration. It can only be executed for a valid purpose and lawful consideration, which means that the compensation as well as the consideration should be lawful. It cannot be something that is not permitted by law, and there has to be a valid purpose for the compensation. Position of a contract of indemnity in India. Indemnity under Section 124 covers losses from human actions, not unforeseen events, and excludes insurance, which means that force majeure cannot be considered here because it is an unforeseen event, and excludes insurance. Legislative and judicial enactments of contract of indemnity under Indian law. If the indemnity holder faces liability the indemnifier pays. If the holder causes it, they must pay. Rights incurred by an indemnity holder. Section 125 ensures the indemnity holder is compensated for costs and fees if they act prudently. Let's clearly understand who is responsible for what. Legislative and judicial enactments of contract of indemnity under Indian law. If the indemnity holder, that means the indemnified party, faces liability, the indemnifier pays. If the holder causes it, that means if the indemnity holder causes that loss, then they must pay themselves. Rights incurred by an indemnity holder. Section 125 ensures the indemnity holder is compensated for costs and fees, but the condition is that they should have acted prudently. Rights of an indemnifier. The Contract Act of 1872 excludes the rights of the indemnifier. Commencement of liability under the contract of indemnity. The Indian Contract Act is silent on when liability begins under a contract of indemnity. Commencement of liability of indemnifier. The Indian Contract Act doesn't specify when the indemnifier's liability begins, but courts say payment should be made after losses are incurred. This is an important fact and we need to realize and understand it very clearly. Rights of an indemnifier. That means if you are giving and you are indemnifying somebody, you are the indemnifier. The Indian Contract Act excludes the rights of the indemnifier, which means that as an indemnifier, the Contract Act of 1872 does not cover your rights. Commencement of liability under the contract of indemnity. The Indian Contract Act is silent on when liability begins under a contract of indemnity. Commencement of liability of indemnifier. The Indian Contract Act doesn't specify when the indemnifier's liability begins, which means that even though you have indemnified somebody against losses incurred by them, it doesn't specify, the law and the Contract Act doesn't specify when that liability begins. But courts, the practice that the courts have seen is that the payments should be made after the losses are incurred. Duties and liabilities of the indemnifier. Indemnify all damages. The indemnifier must pay for both direct and indirect damages suffered by the indemnity holder. Indemnify the costs. The indemnifier must pay costs after deducting claims and amounts paid during legal proceedings. Indemnify amount payable in case of compromise. The indemnifier must pay if the compromise is bona fide, without collusion and not immoral. Let's understand the duties and liabilities of the indemnifier. Indemnify all damages. The indemnifier must pay for both direct and indirect damages suffered by the indemnity holder, which means that the indemnifier has to cover all expenses if he has indemnified or award or handed over an indemnity contract to the holder. Indemnify the costs. The indemnifier must pay costs after deducting claims and amounts paid during legal proceedings, which means that the indemnifier must pay costs after deducting claims and amounts paid during legal proceedings. If there is a legal proceeding and the indemnifier is called into court, he must pay all the balance costs after deducting the claims and the amounts that he has paid during the legal proceedings. Indemnify amount payable in case of compromise. The indemnifier must pay if the compromise is bona fide. That means the indemnity holder, if he got into trouble because of something else, but there was a compromise, then the compromise must be bona fide, without collusion, and must be moral. Only then does the indemnifier pay all the expenses for the compromise. The indemnity holder must follow the contract, avoid violations, and prevent loss if possible. Now, this is where the indemnity holder also has certain duties that he needs to follow. The indemnity holder must follow the contract, avoid violations, and prevent loss as much as possible. Types of the contract of indemnity: broad indemnification, caused in whole or in part, refers to broad indemnification covering damages for all parties, including third parties. Intermediate indemnification, caused in part, refers to intermediate indemnification covering damages from the promisor's and promisee's actions. Types of contract of indemnity: broad indemnification, caused in whole or in part, which means that the broad indemnification covers all damages for all parties, including third parties. Intermediate indemnification, caused in part, refers to the intermediate indemnification covering damages from the promisor's and promisee's actions. Limited indemnification, only to the extent, refers to limited indemnification covering losses from the indemnifier's actions within set limits. That means that the amount or to the extent, only to the extent, is specified in the indemnity contract. Types of indemnity: express indemnity. In express indemnity, terms and obligations are proved, provided in writing. Implied indemnity: an implied indemnity contract arises from conduct with obligations based on actions and circumstances. Types of indemnity: express indemnity. In express indemnity, terms and obligations are all provided in writing. There is no ambiguity on what is the indemnity and what is the coverage. Implied indemnity: an implied indemnity contract arises from conduct with obligations based on actions and circumstances, which means there is a proper understanding of the situation and the circumstances as and when an indemnity issue would come up. Contract of indemnity versus contract of guarantee. Indemnity involves paying damages for one's own or another's conduct, while a guarantee contract involves fulfilling a third party's obligations if they fail. Contract of guarantee. Section 126 of the Indian Contract Act defines a guarantee contract where a person discharges liability for a third party at fault. Let's understand the difference between indemnity and guarantee. Contract of indemnity versus contract of guarantee. Indemnity involves paying damages for one's own or another's conduct, while a guarantee contract involves fulfilling a third party's obligations if they fail. Let's go back. Indemnity involves paying damages for one's own or other's conduct, which means that the indemnity holder, if he incurs any damages, because of the indemnifier or because of any third party, the indemnifier stands to pay damages to the indemnity holder. While a guarantee contract involves fulfilling a third party's obligations if they fail, which means that if you are a guarantee for something, for somebody, which means that if two people get into a contract, A and B, and you, C, are the guarantor, that means that if A has to pay up something, and if he fails to do so, you will stand guarantee for that contract. That means you will stand guarantee to pay on behalf of party A. Contract of guarantee. Section 126 of the Indian Contract Act defines a guarantee contract where a person discharges liability for a third party at fault. If two people who have signed a contract, one of them fails to stand by his side of the deal, which means he is not able to make good the compensation or the money that or the amount that is available, then the guarantor will have to make up or take up that liability and make the payment. In a guarantee contract, the surety promises to pay if the principal debtor defaults and the creditor receives the guarantee. It involves three parties. Features of a contract of guarantee. A guarantee contract requires a principal debtor, a surety liable on default, and a creditor who promises consideration to the debtor. Let's understand this. In a guarantee contract, the surety promises to pay if the principal debtor defaults and the creditor receives the guarantee. It involves three parties, which means who is the creditor? The creditor is the person who is giving some money or giving a loan. Now, this loan is given on the promise that the principal debtor will make good the loan, or rather repay the loan in, let's say, for example, 6 months' time. Now, if he fails to do so, the surety who has signed as the guarantor or the surety stands to pay the full amount to the creditor. That is why it says, if in a guarantee contract, the surety promises to pay if the principal debtor defaults and the creditor receives the guarantee. It involves three parties. Features of a contract of agreement. A guarantee contract requires definitely all the three people who are involved. A principal debtor who actually takes the money. A surety who says that if the principal debtor defaults, I stand to pay. And a creditor who promises consideration to the debtor, which means there is a loan giver, the creditor, who promises to give a loan to the principal debtor, and the surety stands to make up that loan amount in case if the debtor is unable to do so. Indemnity versus guarantee. What is the difference between a contract of indemnity and that of guarantee? Let's look at what are the points. Provisions. Under what is the contract of indemnity? Section 124 of the Indian Contract Act of 1872. Contract of guarantee is covered under Section 126 of the Indian Contract Act. Number of parties. For a contract of indemnity, the indemnifier and the indemnity holder are only two parties to the contract. Whereas for a contract of guarantee, there are three parties. One is the principal debtor, the second is the surety, and the third is the creditor. How many contracts are there? There is one contract, the indemnifier, and the indemnity signed on which? For the contract of guarantee, there are three contracts. First contract is principal debtor and the creditor. The second contract, surety and the creditor. And the third contract, principal debtor and the surety. Let's understand why three contracts are required. First contract, principal and debtor. Principal debtor and creditor, which means the person who is giving the loan and the person who is taking the loan. So the principal debtor is the person who takes the loan and the creditor is the person who is giving the loan. So there is a loan, there is a contract that is signed on the basis of the amount and all the other terms and conditions. The second contract is where the surety stands guarantee for the principal debtor in case if he defaults, and that is why this contract is between the surety and the creditor. The third contract is between the principal debtor and the surety. The principal debtor is the person who has taken the loan, and the surety is the guarantor who is standing guarantee that in case if the principal debtor defaults, he will make up the amount to the creditor. So there has to be a contract between the principal debtor and the surety on whatever are the mutually agreed terms. Aim. What is the aim of the contract of indemnity? Protect a person from potential loss by humans or agencies, which means that the indemnity holder is protected by the indemnifier for any potential loss by humans or any other government agencies that may be involved. In the case of the contract of guarantee, provide the creditor with the security that in the default of the principal debtor of the obligations, the same will be done by a surety. In the contract of guarantee, what are we seeing? We are seeing that the creditor is provided with a security by the principal, by the surety, that in case if the principal debtor defaults on his obligations, he will be compensated or he will be paid up by the surety. Liability. The indemnifier has primary liability because he promised to pay for the loss incurred by the indemnity holder. Liability of the surety under the contract of guarantee is secondary, as the principal debtor is primarily responsible for the obligations. surety is liable if principal debtor defaults. This is very clear. Liability of the surety is secondary. As the person who has taken the loan, that is the principal debtor, it is his primary responsibility to return the loan amount. But in case, if he defaults, then the surety ensures that the principal debtor's default amount is paid to the creditor. Recovery of money, loss paid. The indemnifier cannot recover the amount that he paid for the loss from any person. So this is a loss that the indemnifier has to incur for himself. If the surety pays money on behalf of the principal debtor, he/she is liable to recover from him, which means that with respect to the creditor, while the creditor is paid off by the surety needs to recover that amount which has been paid to the creditor. Now, this is an agreement between the principal debtor and the surety, and how the surety is able to recover from the principal debtor is based on the agreement or the understanding that they may, that the two may have with themselves. Essentials of a contract of guarantee. A guarantee contract needs agreement from all three parties. Under section 127, any benefit to the debtor is considered is consideration for the surety, which means that if there is any benefit to the debtor, it is through the surety. Liability. The surety's liability is secondary and arises only when the principal debtor defaults. Presupposes the existence of a debt. A guarantee secures the principal debtor's debt. Without a debt, the surety has nothing to secure. Must contain all the essentials of a valid contract. A valid guarantee contract requires consent, consideration, offer, acceptance, and intent to create a legal relationship. No concealment of facts. The creditor must disclose all facts, as concealment invalidates the guarantee. Liability. The surety's liability, as we understood earlier, is secondary and arises only when the principal debtor defaults. So in case, if the principal debtor pays off the loan, then the surety has nothing, no role to play. Presupposes the existence of a debt. A guarantee secures the principal debtor's debt. Without a debt, the surety has nothing to secure. So if there is no debt that has arisen with that because of the contract between the debtor and the creditor, then the surety has nothing to secure. Must contain all the essentials of a valid contract. So what we are saying here is that a contract of guarantee has to be a valid contract and must meet or qualify all the conditions of a valid contract, which we understood earlier, which means requires consent, consideration, offer, acceptance, and intent to create a legal relationship. No concealment of facts. The creditor, when he signs this contract of guarantee, must disclose all facts, as concealment invalidates the guarantee, which means that the creditor will not be getting his money in case if there is a default on the part of the principal debtor. No misrepresentation. The guarantee must be based on truthful facts, not misrepresentation. Kinds of guarantee. There are two types of contracts of guarantee. Specific guarantee. A specific guarantee covers a single debt or transaction and ends when the debt is paid or promise fulfilled. No misrepresentation. The guarantee must be based on truthful facts, not misrepresentation, which means that once the creditor has stated all the facts, they should be confirmed and accepted that they are true by both the surety as well as the principal debtor. Kinds of guarantee. There are two types of contracts of guarantee. One is the specific guarantee. A specific guarantee covers a single debt or transaction and ends when the debt is paid or promise fulfilled. Continuing guarantee under section 129A. A continuing guarantee covers multiple transactions by the debtor and stays active till revoked by the surety. Revocation of continuing guarantee. An existing guarantee is irrevocable once accepted, while a continuing guarantee can be revoked for future deals, with liability retained for past ones. Let us understand this. What is first a continuing guarantee? That is the second type of the guarantee contract. A continuing guarantee covers multiple transactions by the debtor and stays active until revoked by the surety. So here it is only the surety who has the authority or has the responsibility to revoke the guarantee, the continuing guarantee. Revocation of continuing guarantee, an existing debt guarantee is irrevocable once accepted, while a continuing guarantee can be revoked for future deals, which means that if the surety claims that he revokes the guarantee, continuing guarantee as of a date, any deals after that date are no more covered by that contract of guarantee. Only the liability is retained for the past ones, that means those prior to that date. A contract of guarantee can be revoked in the following two ways. By giving a notice, section 130. A continuing guarantee is revocable by notice but covers prior transactions. By death of surety, section 131. A surety's death revokes the guarantee for future transactions, but the estate remains liable for past transactions. Period of limitation. The limitation period for enforcing a guarantee is 3 years from its execution. Let's understand the contract of guarantee further. A contract of guarantee can be revoked in the following two ways. By giving a notice, a continuing guarantee is revocable by notice but covers all prior transactions. So which means that if there have been 10 transactions, then all those 10 are covered, but the 11th will not be covered because it has still not taken place. By death of surety, section 131. A surety's death revokes the guarantee for future transactions, but the estate remains liable for past transactions. What this means is that in case if there is a death of the surety, then the liability of all future transactions is no more valid under that contract. However, whatever has been the past transactions, the surety and his legal heirs are still liable for all those past transactions. Period of limitation. The limitation period for enforcing a guarantee is 3 years from its execution. So there is a validity irrespective of whether it is continued, a continuing guarantee or a specific guarantee. The limitation period for enforcing a guarantee is 3 years from its execution. Period of limitation. The limitation is 3 years. Who is surety? Section 129 of the Indian Contract Act 1872 defines a surety in a guarantee contract, with the surety's role covered from sections 126 to 147. Liabilities of surety. Section 128. The surety's liability matches the debtor's unless stated otherwise. If the debtor's liability is reduced, so is the surety's. Who is surety? Under section 126 of the Indian Contracts Act of 1872, defines a surety in a guarantee contract, with the surety's role covered from section 126 to section 147. Liabilities of the surety. Under section 128, the surety's liability matches the debtor's liability, unless otherwise stated. If the debtor's liability is reduced, so is the surety. Let's understand this point. Let's say the debtor has taken a loan of 10,000 rupees. Now he manages to pay off 6,000 rupees. In this case, the liability of the debtor is the balance. That means it has reduced to 4,000 rupees. So has the liability of the surety, which means that the surety has to only make up for the 4,000, which is the balance amount of the loan of the debt that has to be paid off. Rights of the surety. After the surety has signed that contract and has made payment on behalf of the principal debtor, he gets certain rights. What are those rights? Let's understand them. Rights of a surety. After making a payment and discharging the liability of the principal debtor, the surety gets rights, which can be studied under three heads: rights against the principal debtors, rights against the creditor, and rights against the co-sureties. Rights against the principal debtors: the right of subrogation allows the surety to recover the amount paid from the principal debtor. We understood that a surety is standing as a guarantee and he makes the payment in case where the principal debtor is unable to do so. Now, after making that payment and discharging the liability of the principal debtor, the surety gets certain rights, which can be understood under three different heads. The rights are against, first, against the principal debtor; second is the rights against the creditor; and third, the rights against the sureties, the co-sureties, if there have been any. Rights against the principal debtors: the right of subrogation, which means he has the rights to recover all the amount that he has paid from the principal debtor, which was paid on the principal debtor's behalf. Rights against the creditor: right to the securities given by the principal debtor. After paying the debt, the surety gains the rights to all securities given by the debtor to the creditor, regardless of timing or knowledge. What does this mean? This means that under the right against the creditor, the surety has, after paying the debt, the surety gains the right to all the securities that the debtor may have given to the creditor, regardless of when they were given or whether he is aware of anything given or not given. But if there is a security that has been given, he has the right to those from the creditor. Right to set off: the surety can claim any counterclaim the principal debtor has against the creditor, which means that the surety can claim if the principal debtor has made any claim against the creditor, a counterclaim against the creditor, the surety can claim any of those counterclaims that the principal debtor has against the creditor. Rights against the co-sureties: release of one co-surety does not discharge others. Co-sureties are jointly liable. If one is released, it doesn't discharge the others or free the released surety from liability to them. What does this mean? This means that, let's say, there are four sureties, co-sureties. Now, the co-sureties are jointly liable. That means, let's say, this amount of 10,000, all the four co-sureties are liable on an equal basis, unless otherwise specified. If one is released, it doesn't discharge the others or free the released surety from liability to them, which means that even if one of the sureties opts out, he is not discharged from the surety or from the liability against the surety amount, which means that he has to pay that amount or agree mutually with the other co-sureties for the liability. Co-sureties to contribute equally: co-sureties are equally liable unless stated otherwise. We understood this. Liability of co-sureties bound in different sums: co-sureties contribute equally up to the guaranteed amounts. Discharge of surety from lien: a surety can be discharged by revocation of the contract, creditor's conduct, invalidation of the contract. What does this mean? This means that discharge of surety from liability: a surety can be discharged by revocation of the contract. So if there is a revocation of the contract, the surety is discharged of his liability. Or the creditor's conduct: if the creditor acts or conducts himself in an unlawful or illegal way, the contract can be revoked and there is no liability on the surety. Invalidation of the contract: if the contract becomes invalid due to whatever reasons we looked at earlier, then the liability of the creditor, of the surety, is discharged. Let's understand how a revocation of contract works. A surety can be discharged by revocation of the contract through notice or death, which means either he served a note, there is a notice that is served for the revocation of the contract, or there is a death on the part of the surety. Conduct of the creditor: warrants in terms of the contract. A surety is discharged if the contract is materially altered by the creditor and principal debtor. Since the original contract is signed only between two people, that is the creditor and the principal debtor, and if there is a material alteration in that contract, then under the variance in terms of the contract, section 133, a surety is discharged of his liability. Release or discharge of the principal debtor. A surety is discharged if the creditor releases the principal debtor or through any act or omission, which means that if in case the creditor waives off the loan of the debtor, then the surety is discharged of his liability. Arrangement between principal debtor and creditor. A surety is discharged if the creditor makes an arrangement with the debtor without consent. Now, let's look at what this means. Arrangement between principal debtor and creditor. A surety is discharged if the creditor and the debtor make some kind of an arrangement without the consent of the surety. That means they are having a sort of a deal or an understanding without informing the surety. In that case, the surety is discharged from his liability. Loss of security. A surety is discharged if the creditor loses security without consent. Let's understand loss of security. A surety is discharged if the creditor loses security without consent. That means that he acts in a way which is not as lawful, and he does something without the consent of either the principal debtor or the surety. By invalidation of the contract. Guarantee obtained by misrepresentation. A guarantee contract is invalid if the creditor misrepresents a material fact with or without consent. Guarantee obtained by misrepresentation. So if the contract was signed with some misrepresentation or some material fact was hidden, then the contract stands as invalid, as a result of which the liability of the surety is discharged and the contract can be revoked. Guarantee obtained by concealment. A guarantee contract is invalid if the creditor withholds material information. Failure of co-surety to join a surety. A guarantee contract is invalid if it requires a co-surety to join and they do not. Extent of a surety's liability. Unless stated otherwise, a surety's liability is coextensive with the principal debtor's liability. Guarantee obtained by concealment. A guarantee contract is invalid if the creditor withholds material information. This is very clear. We have seen earlier that the creditor needs to disclose and bring forth all material information. Failure of co-surety to join a surety. A guarantee contract is considered invalid if it requires a co-surety and the co-surety does not join or they are not party of the surety contract. Then the guarantee contract is considered invalid. Extent of a surety's liability. Unless stated otherwise, a surety's liability is coextensive with the principal debtor's, which means that if the principal debtor's liability reduces, the surety's liability also reduces. Thank you.